Last time I preached here, it was probably in February, so it's been a while. So I'm feeling a little rusty. There's no such a thing. Anyway, so, but I remember what I spoke about. I spoke about a verse that says, dear brethren, consider it all joy when you go through troubles and tribulations. And I remember clearly saying that when we go through that tough time, we actually smile because we know something amazing is about to happen. We know that God wants to work something in our life. And we learned through the years not to frown when something bad happens, because we know all things are going to work together for our best. And that was on Sunday. Monday morning, I go to work and I lose a big client, right? And something happened at work. Tuesday, two huge clients, two big companies, I lose those accounts as well. I started smiling. I was like, you know what? Something amazing is about to happen. Wednesday morning, I was taking Elijah to the doctor. He had a doctor's appointment. Dina had a doctor's appointment for something that was growing on her shoulder. And while I'm with Elijah at the doctor's, she said that he has to have surgery. Dina texts me saying, I have to have surgery. I get a text from a client saying that we are leaving. And I remember leaving Elijah in the clinic, at the clinic upstairs, and I had to go back and put some money in the meter. And I just looked at heaven and I smiled. I was like, is that all what you got? You know, is that all what you have for me? Just a couple of clients? I'm like, is that all what you have for Elijah to go down, you know, with a surgery for a week? But what are you going to do with the destiny that God has for him? You know, you want a scar, Dina, on her, give her a little scar on her shoulder. What are you going to do with the destruction that she is making in your kingdom? Because God is on our side. So no matter what you do, no matter what you bring against us, we know that no weapon that's formed against us will prosper, because God got our back. So if that's all what you got, please go hit a little bit harder, because you hit like a little baby, you know, because God got our back. He's got our back. But, you know, it kind of got me. I was like, next time I need to be careful what to preach about, because it might happen. So today I'm going to preach about making millions this week, having mansions, maybe growing six-pack overnight, something like that, you know. We'll see how it goes. No. I'm gonna try to share with you today a really good story that when I read it a couple of times, I couldn't believe it, but I had to go back and read it again and again and again, and I studied it again and again, because the events were kind of shocking to me. Not because of the events, but because who was involved in these events. So let's open our Bibles, iPads, iPhones, or you can just look over here and help me read the story from 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. And the Word of God says, now it happened when David... Wait. I want the Britney Spears one. You know, he can just... All right. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag, and excuse my pronunciation of these words, you know, they don't exist anymore, so we don't care. When David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south end Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, and pay attention to this coming part, please. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Verse 6, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the souls of men, of all people, were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Let's say that one more time. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Verse 7, then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech, Ahimelech's son, please bring me the ephod here to, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. I was going to talk today about the story in taking back what was stolen from us. If I look around the room, if I look at myself, I look at my life, I can tell you there are a lot that had been stolen from me throughout the years, through bad decisions, through mistakes, through life. A lot had been stolen from me. And this is David, the man after God's heart. In his weakest point in his whole entire life, his weakest point, and I'm going to emphasize on that again, his weakest point. Because when we think of David's weaknesses, we go to the thing we know when he committed adultery. Yes, that was a horrible, horrible, horrible act. But believe it or not, there was a period of his time that he went through a much darker place. So if David himself, the man after God's heart, went through that dark place and God took him from that place, you know what? It gives me hope for myself. It gives me hope for what I go through sometimes. Through my failures, my falls, through my stumbling, God gives me hope. So David went through this, and I figured if I come today and preach, and I was going to just speak about that, recovering what was stolen. But if we just leave it at there, I don't think I would be very honest with you. We can have a good message, we get encouraged, we leave Sunday with a smile on our face and be very happy that Sunday. But without saying, without going through how it was stolen, it might happen again and again and again. And I'm talking about my life. Without stopping to know how did he get to this place, how did the man of God, the man after God's own heart, lift his responsibilities, lift his wives, his children, all of these people, led the people of God, the warriors of God, somewhere else they're not supposed to be. If we don't talk about that, we might have a good Sunday today, but I guarantee you, because it happened to me personally, after Sunday, full of faith, full of strength, and then I get back and I stumble again. Because I did not learn, I did not stop to learn how I failed at the first place. So why, how did this happen? How did David, the warrior, the mighty man of God, his family, his friends' families, how did they all get stolen? I'll give you a couple of reasons. It was stolen because there is a thief. There is a thief. And as much as we speak of the faith of God, what we have in God, we cannot forget that there is a thief. If Jesus himself put a big sign that says, there is a thief that comes to kill, destroy, and steal, we cannot ignore it. We were in Cancun a few weeks ago, and the driver was telling us, don't go there, don't go to this area because there are a lot of alligators. And he's like, oh, look at the sign, look at the big sign. It says there are no swimming here, there are alligators. I was like, well, you don't have to tell me that. If there is a sign that says alligator, I won't even come near. He said, you'll be surprised. Every couple of weeks, someone dies in this place because they're not looking at the sign. They're ignoring that there are killer beasts in this area. They shouldn't be there, but they keep going anyway. So God is telling us there is a killer. There is a killer everywhere who is going after your life and my life, and we sometimes tend to ignore it. We, for some reason, act like, oh, life is good. We're happy. We're Christians. So what? So what that you're Christian? It's a great thing that you're Christian. God is after protecting you, but if you keep stepping out, if you keep, you know, swimming in those places you're not so supposed to swim, you're going to be eaten by an alligator one day or another. If you keep staying from where you're supposed to be like David did, you're going to keep falling. If you don't go out with the troops at the time you're supposed to go out to the troops and instead just sit back and relax on the roof of your house, you might see someone naked and you might commit adultery. You never know. We keep placing ourselves in this imaginary scenarios where no one is fighting against us. And Jesus himself keeps giving us the sign. And if Jesus said that there is a thief, please believe him. He's not messing around. And if Jesus, with all of his strength and power, said that there is a thief, and please be careful, my children, we should listen to him. It was stolen because there is a thief that's after your life and after my life, and it was after his life, after his family, after his possessions. That's the reason number one. Number two, and this is what I want us to focus on. David left his post. David was in a place he was not supposed to be. David got tired of Saul, King Saul, chasing him. He said to himself, listen to what he said in Samuel 27. David was tired of Saul chasing him, and then he goes, David said to his heart, this is 1 Samuel 27. Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Palestinians. And Saul will despair of me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. So David is getting tired of Saul chasing him. And this bright idea comes to him. Leave Israel, leave Judah, leave the people of God, leave everyone, and go make a treaty with the enemy. So Saul can stop chasing you. That treaty happens in our lives many times. When we go through struggles, when we go through trouble, we feel like the only way to escape is to make a treaty with the enemy. It's the only way is to leave what God has called us to do and what the call of God in our life and start doing something different. Start drawing our own way. And it never worked. And it will never work. Matter of fact, it cost him a lot more. And notice how that thought that came in his heart was, someday he will catch up to me. Someday Saul will catch up to me. And this is the enemy's trick. He will tell you tomorrow, just like Jezebel told Elijah, tomorrow I will show you what's going to happen to you. Why don't we settle this today? Why don't we settle this today? Because the enemy wants you to worry about tomorrow. He can't mess with today because he knows that today God has given you that day. God has already given you today. He's already given you yesterday. He's given you last month. But the enemy doesn't want you to see that. The enemy wants you to focus in the future because none of us can see the future. But I can see the one who is holding my future. So instead of saying to myself, someday he's going to catch up to me, I'm going to say to myself, well, let's settle this today. God is here, you're here, and I'm here. Show me what you're going to do. How about this? Let's look at your resume. Let's look at my resume. Let's look at what you tried in the past and what God did in the past. Remember when you sent the lion, when I was just a little shepherd, 16, 17-year-old, remember when you sent the lion to eat my little sheep and I destroyed that lion? Remember when you sent a little bear, a big bear to come attack me and I destroyed that bear? God has my back no matter where I go. But the enemy doesn't want you to remember that. He wants you to completely forget God's goodness in your life. And God's goodness in my life. He wants you to worry about tomorrow that we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Forget about what happened yesterday. We have so much to rely on. We have so much experience with God that we should trust him. But instead, we think of what's going to happen in the future. I don't worry about that. Because I know who's holding that future. And when the enemy comes to attack, you know what? Let's look at what happened yesterday. I love that Dina and I go through this time and this thing that where we remember things that happened in our life. So sometimes I walk by a gas station. I'm like, oh, I remember this place. One time I was there, and I wasn't sure if I had enough money to put gas or not. I love remembering these things because I know that God carried me through that time. I remember when Dean and I didn't probably see eye to eye for many reasons. I mean, she is perfect, you know, but it will take a perfect human being to be with her. So I am not there yet. So I'm joking, of course. So, but God helped us through that. And every time our relationship gets stronger and stronger and stronger. But we still, the enemy comes and attacks us with that tomorrow. So David listened to the enemy and said, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be okay or not. I don't know if he's going to catch up to me. So why don't I just leave the kingdom that God has for me and work somewhere else? And it gets worse and worse. He leaves because he's scared and completely forgets God's promises. Completely forgets what he wrote, what he preached about. Completely forgets that the Lord is my shepherd. This is your song. This is the song that you taught us. This is the song that you wrote. This is the song that I completely forgot in one of those moments. And that moment could happen to all of us. Could happen to every in any one of us. In one moment, when we keep our eyes away from God, when we stop focusing on God, we forget everything that God has done for us and start making decisions that will hurt us even more. He goes to this city, and look what happens to him there. Even though he knows he's not supposed to be there, he knows that, and he wrote that, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked. But you are going to the wicked. You are going to the enemy. Yourself. These were your own words. But now the wicked seems like the place to go. And his life changes. I'm not talking trash about David. You guys know how much I love David, right? But it was shocking to me when I saw what happened in his life and how his life changed around. And the Bible gives us that, not to condemn David, but to learn, to serve as a warning, for every one of us to pay attention. When he moved over there, listen to what happens, what the Bible says in Samuel 27 again. Then David said to Achish was the king of the Palestinians, the Palestinians at the time, right? So David went to him. He went to his enemy, he went to the king, his enemy's king. He went there and said, if I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be assigned to me in one of the country towns that I may live there. And listen to this part coming up that will break your heart as it broke my heart. Why should your servant, David, the king David, the one who is anointed and chosen by God, is telling his enemy, God's people's enemy, he's telling him, why should your servant, I'm your servant, why should your servant live in the royal city with you? David, you're a king. David, you are the son of the king, the heavenly king. You should not call yourself servant. You should not call yourself servant, especially to your enemy. But this is what happens when we leave our kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, when we leave our place with God and in God and step out to the world. Instead of being anointed as sons and daughters of the heavenly king, instead of being destined for greatness, we step out and become servants to the king of this world. How sad is that? How low do we think of ourselves when we step out? Your place is not there, David. My place is not there. Your place is not there. Your place is to be a child of God. Your place is to give orders and to have authority, not to take orders from the king of this, from the prince of this world. This is your place. This is my place. This is what God has been trying to deliver to us since the day we were born. You were born to be a king. You were born to be a queen. You were born to have a part of this kingdom of God. That's what you were born for. You were born for something much, much greater than you think. You were destined for something much, much bigger than you ever thought. And for some reason, the enemy knows how to bring you down so low that you consider yourself a servant of this earthly, sinful, horrible king. He changed his place. Instead of God's anointed king of Israel, he wanted to become a servant of King Achish. And instead of being a warrior for God, fighting the godly war, listen to what he was doing. Also Samuel 27. Now David and his men went up and raided. This is heartbreaking as well. And David and his men went up and raided the cities around them. Whenever David attacked an area, he did not leave a man or woman alive, but took sheep and cattle, donkeys and camels and clothes. Then he returned to Achish. This is the same man who would not let a lion hurt one of his little goats. Now he's going to kill people, destroy men and women, and steal their possessions. And instead of being someone who gives, he became someone who just wants to take and take and take. And instead of being a warrior that stands up for people and helps people and protects people, now he is the one that's killing people. And instead of being a warrior for God, he became a pirate. David, King David. And instead of being a blessing to others, he became a curse to others. Am I being harsh to say that? Or is this the reality when we step out of God's will? When I step out of God's will, the verse that gets me all the time when God told Abraham, I will bless you and you will become a blessing. God set the rules. He's blessing you so you can become a blessing, so he can use you. God is giving you so many talents, so many giftings. And with those talents, he gave David the talent of war. He's a warrior. The man is a warrior. Got a brave heart and knows how to win wars for God. David takes that talent and goes and kills people just for some donkeys and clothes. And Lord, forgive me. Lord, seriously, I feel like we need to stop for a second and pray for forgiveness. Because we take God's blessings on our lives and use it for our own sinful nature. When God gives me eyes so I can see, so I can do things, and I take those eyes and start looking at things I'm not supposed to look at. When God gives me health, and instead of taking that health and being active in the church and active in his kingdom, I take that health and do something I'm not supposed to do. If he gives me money, and if instead of spending that money the right way, I just spend it and, waste the... God has given us so much. And instead of using it for his glory, we use it for our own benefit. He changed his job, he changed his location, and instead of guarding the house of God, instead of guarding God's kingdom, guess what his new job is going to do. So Achish, King Achish said, I'm going to go fight the Israelites. Are you coming with me? And David goes, you will see what I'm going to do. You will see the amount, you will see the work, the damage I'm going to do to the kingdom of God. You will see the damage I'm gonna do to the Israelites. David, their own king who was appointed, who was anointed by God, is telling that sinful king, Achish, watch me destroy the kingdom of God. Watch me ruin this church. Watch me ruin this family. Watch me do things that you never thought that any one of your soldiers, one of your warriors can do. Watch me, king. And Achish told him, okay, from now on, you will be my personal bodyguard. You will be my personal bodyguard. he turned from being this amazing warrior who could not tolerate a 10-foot man cursing the people of God and talking trash to them and saying all these horrible things. When he was a little boy, he could not handle that. He said, God is with me. Who is this Palestinian that comes and talks to the people of God like that? Now, he goes from that, from killing Goliath, he goes to the person who's guarding the king of Goliath. There will be good news at the end. So I promise there will be some good news at the end. In Samuel 28, his time came. His time came to fight. And it's either you're going to fight against the people of God or you're going to fight against that sinful king. You have that choice, and I get that choice every day. It's either we fight against God and his people, or we fight for God and his people. We have that choice. We get that choice. It says in Samuel 28, in those days the Palestinians gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, you must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army. David said, then you will see for yourself what your servant can do. Calling himself a servant one more time. The fight is going to happen. And let me ask you a question today. Who do you fight with the most? Do you fight with your wife the most? Or do you fight for your wife the most? Do you fight with your children or you fight for your children? Do you fight with your neighbors? Or you fight for your neighbors? That's the question. We know who our enemy is. We know who's the enemy. But the question is, are you going to fight him or are you going to fight for him? This is the question that David couldn't answer at that time. Matter of fact, he decided that he was going to fight against God's people. But God intervened at the last moment. And he made the leaders and the captains of the Palestinians army reject him and kick him out of the army so he wouldn't fight. So God intervened. So David doesn't go that far to go ahead and fight against his own people that he was anointed to protect, that he was anointed to lead, that he was anointed to bless. God came through the last moment and helped him not to do that. But he had already said in his heart that he's going to fight for King Achish. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. Away from God, anything is possible. Do not be surprised with yourself. I was shocked sometimes when I went, I was like, did I really do that? Did that really happen? When you're away from the will of God, anything can happen. Unless God himself stretches his hand and picks you up from that dark, dark place, that dark pit that you and I fall in. David lifted his responsibilities. Instead of being the husband, the warrior, the leader, the captain, he went and left all that behind and became a servant to this world. If you read from Samuel 27 all the way to Samuel 30, you will notice something. It says, David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelites, were taken. But if you read at the end of that chapter, when David went and had victory, it just says their name, Ahinoam, and Abigail, David's wives. I was going to skip that part, but I don't feel like skipping it. Why in the beginning, when he was away from the will of God, the Bible lists their names with their previous life? You know, one of them, he's describing her as this woman who was from this place. And the other one, this woman who was married to this other man. Yes, they are your wives right now. But right now, they haven't really been separated from their old life because you have not done your job as a husband. Because as a husband, you have not connected with them. You have not led them spiritually. You have not been with them the way you're supposed to be. I know that you're a man and she's a woman. You guys are married. But are you really a husband? Are you really a wife? Are you really a father? You know, you can have kids, but it doesn't mean that you're a father. You can have a wife, but it doesn't mean that you are her husband that's leading her in a godly way. The church speaks so much of the sanctity of marriage, right? But only when it comes to homosexual marriage, when it comes to other stuff on the outside. But when we speak about marriage in the church, are we preaching to their husbands to love and respect to their wives? Are we preaching responsibilities? Are we preaching to fathers to become the godly fathers that God that will reflect the father's heart? These two women were still listed. Yes, they are your women. But they're still so connected with their previous life because you have not done your job as a husband. You have not taken control as a husband. You have not been the godly husband that God pictured you and I to be. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking that we could lose so many lives. All what they did is that trusted us. All they did is that they're in our environment, in our little kingdom that we have for ourselves. They were not connected to him. And because they were close to him, they were captive. They were held captive. Because they were close to him, they were stolen. But when he went back to God, when he went back to his place in God, he was able to be a husband. They're no longer associated with their previous lives. They're just David's wives. My prayer for you and myself today is that the people that are associated with us, they would see us in a godly way. That we would do our godly duties in their lives. Whether it's a friend, a cousin, a wife, or a husband, a child, whatever it is, we need to be the godly men and women that God placed in their lives so that they may not be held captive one day. I'm going to get to the good news, I promise. How do we get it back? I've given you all the bad news so far, but I think it was important to serve as a warning for all of us. It says that the people came back and they wept. They wept until they had no energy or power to weep anymore or to cry anymore. And that's a good step. Our first step is to humble ourselves before God. Our first step to retrieve that was stolen from us, you know, to humble ourselves before God and ask Him to come and intervene. Ask Him to come and help. We just need to come and tell Him, we made a mess. Can you please clean it? We made a mess. Can you please help? They're gone. The Bible said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Our first step is to repent, truly repent before God. Truly repent before God for leaving our place and going to put hand to hand with the enemy. To leaving the possession that God has for us and go and accepting another position to the king of this world. And instead of being sons and daughters, king and queens, we went and accepted to be servants for this horrible and sinful king. The second thing, he didn't look at the anger that was around him. His men, his people, wanted to stone him. They were like, you're the reason why we're in this mess. It's your fault. No. Stop pointing at one another. Stop blaming your mistakes for someone else. Or we're going to go back to what Adam did. It was her fault. She gave me that. No, it's your fault. Take responsibility for your mistakes. Take responsibility for what you did. And call it what it is. Even though they wanted to stone him, they wanted to kill him. And imagine this now. His friends, His closest friends wanted to kill him. Saul, King Saul, was after him. The Palestinians are after him as well. And his wives are gone. Life is good. That was a good move, right? When he decided to leave Israel and go live with King Achish and the Palestinians. That was a good move, right? It brought him great. It brought him nothing but good stuff. Everyone and everything is going against him at this moment. And this is the moment that God shows up the best. And the Bible said, he strengthened himself with the Lord. Let me read it back to you. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Now it's the time to come back. Now it's the time to take another look. And instead of looking at the disaster of situation that you made, I know it looks horrible. I know it looks really bad. I know you might think, look back and say, there is no way. There is no way out of this at this point. Have you guys ever been there? I have been in this place so many times where I felt like, this is it. This is it. Last time was much, much easier than this time. But this time, everyone, everything is against me. There is no way out of it. And this is the moment where you can simply lift your heart and strengthen yourself with the Lord. Listen to what he said in one of his Psalms. In Psalm 18, it says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horde of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snare of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. This is the moment where we need to lift our eyes to God. This is the moment where we need to lift our hearts to God. No matter what it is that you've done, there is a way out. No matter what kind of mess you made, no matter how far you've gone away from God, he can find a way out for you. Because he can find a way. Because what you and I cannot do, God can do. Whenever we feel like that's it, I'm done, this is the moment when God's hands lifts us up and takes us where he desires to take us. David prayed that prayer. David asked for God's presence to come back. He goes to the priest and he said, bring me the ephod. The ephod is the uniform that the priest used to wear. And he asked the Lord, can I go and conquer? If I go catch up to them, can I beat them? Can I take it back? And this is the question you need to ask God today. And maybe the question that even if you're not asking God, but God is giving you the answer, yes, you can. Yes, you can this morning. Yes, you can this morning bring back your children. Yes, you can this morning bring your family. Yes, you can this morning bring your husband, your wife, your relatives. Yes, you can bring them all back. God is giving you that promise this morning. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can get your future back. Yes, you can get your career back. Yes, you can get all the great and amazing and destined plans that God has for you. Yes, you can take that back today. Even if it all looks really bad, even if it still looks like it's burning and you can smell the fire and you can see the destruction everywhere, but God is telling you, yes, I from these ashes, I can bring beauty. From that enemy, from that mouth of the enemy, I can bring with my glory, I can bring life back to you and to your situation. So yes, you can. If you're asking God today, if I follow this enemy, can I catch up to him and can I take what's mine back? Yes, you can. If you forget anything about today's message, and I know you will, remember this. Yes, you can get it back. Yes, you can take it back. Because that's God's promise. That's what he can do. You have seen, and I have seen what we can do, and it's not much. But I have seen what he can do, and it's everything. He is the one that can come in the middle of the night, while the storms are kicking your boat, destroying your boat, and he can come back and just calm everything for you and get you back to the other side of it. He can. He can. And he did. And he wants to. He is willing to do it. Can you trust him? Do you want to trust him? Do you miss them? Do you miss those who you lost? Do you miss them? Do you miss that destiny that someone spoke over your life one day, and you now you look back and say, where is that? I remember one time when I was a baby, I was sitting at church next to my dad, and someone said a word to me. He said, you're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. And as I grow, I can see nothing but me doing horrible things to the kingdom of hell. That's all I can see. And that voice kept ringing in my head. He told me that I'm going to do great things. And all I can see is myself doing horrible, horrible things, one after another, hurting people one after another, destroying families one after another, taking advantage of people one after another. And I say, that guy was drunk. He had a couple of drinks before he came to church. You know, he was tripping. But then one night, I heard that. Yes, you can. I heard that promise. Even if you made a mess, I'm going to fix that mess. And then he starts, he tells them, yes, go ahead, catch up to them. You will catch up to them, you will take them, and you'll bring everything back. Believe that today. In Jesus' name, I pray that you believe that today. I pray that every one of you would look and make a list of the things that were stolen from you, of the people that were stolen from you, of the dreams that were stolen from you. Make a list today. Make a list. Go ahead, make a list today and say, that's what I lost. That's what I lost. I miss this person. I miss this thing. I miss this promise. I miss this destiny. I miss those. Can I take them back? Yes, you can. Make your list today. Make your list because it's time for recovery. Make your list because it's time for restoration today. Amen? He goes and takes his 600 men and follows them. And he finds this almost dead Egyptian young man. See, Egyptians are everywhere. You come to Norwalk, they're here. You go to, you know, they're everywhere. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but in this situation, it was a good thing. He found this man, and the man is almost dead. And guess what this man was doing? He was part of those troops that invaded his town, took over everything. And he said, who are you? And he tells him, I'm an Egyptian man. My master, you know, let go of me because I couldn't fight anymore, because I couldn't go on anymore. So they just threw him on the field. They're like, all right, bye. You know, hope you don't get eaten by a lion or something, but, you know, you're done. And on a side note, that's what the enemy does. That's his plan for any of us. Use us as much as he can, and then when he's done with us, then you're done. This man takes him and leads him. David goes and fights and takes everything back. I mean, everything back. But before he took his things back, David was restored himself. David was restored when he got on his knees. David, when he was restored, when he strengthened himself with the Lord, because at that point, before, he lost Saul. Okay, so he lost the kingdom. And then he lost the people of God because he went and lived somewhere else. And then, I'm sorry, I'm running a little late, but, you know, you guys forgive me, right? And then he lost King Achish and the Palestinians, but he had his men, his 600 men. And at that moment, the 600 men that were following him, they're also gone. So he lost everything. And that's when he got on his knees and started. And God restored everything back to him. Remember that list. Remember that list you're going to make today because God is going to restore it. Remember those people that you're praying for because God is going to restore them and God is going to do amazing things in their life. Yesterday we were going to the beach and on our way out, I get a phone call from someone that I haven't spoken to in 2 years. I made over 30 tries to get a hold of this person and they wouldn't talk to me. For some reason, I send messages, I send phone calls. I'm like, I want to talk to you. I miss you. My kids and my wife, we all want to talk to you. And we never heard back. And yesterday, yesterday, I get a phone call, and we spoke for almost 2 hours on videos, and like that, the line disconnected because they were from a different country. The lines, but I just felt like God is giving me something back. I lost this. I lost this relationship with someone who's so dear to me. And after all these tries, and after believing God, God gave it back. So make that list, because God will give it back. He goes and fights, takes them back. The meanwhile, not only he restores himself, he restores another person's life who was about to die. That Egyptian young man was a few hours away from death, and David takes him and makes him a captain of one of the captains of the army that led him to this victory. Not only that, but something happened where when he was going with the 600 men to bring their people back, 200 of them got so sick and couldn't continue, right? So him and the 400 went, retrieved everything back, and those 400 men, some of them were just mean and evil and did not want to give some of the things back to the 200. They said they didn't go to war with us. You know, if they didn't go to war with us, they don't deserve it. But David starts talking about grace. He starts talking about mercy. He said, no, we're not going to do that. Remember that God, his own words were, that let us not do that because we know that everything we receive was from God. See, his vision is starting to go back. That his talent, his strength, everything that he has is not from him. It's from God. And instead of using that and going like a gangster to go to a place, take their money, take their things, no, now he is someone that's blessing and giving others. The following step for him was to reconcile with God's people. He took so much from that night that he started giving it to all the other cities around him. His whole life was stored in one night. And that's what God can do. That's what God can do in every... I'm done. That's what God can do in every of our lives. He can take that mess that we made and turn it into a great testimony if we only believe him. If we only come humbly before him and say, Lord, we made a mess. That's it. We don't have anyone anymore. They're all gone. The 600 men are gone. The Israelites are gone. The Palestinians are gone. My wives are gone. Everyone is gone. It's just you and me. Can you help? It's just you and me. Can you do something? Let's pray. Let's pray and... So either this will be just a few words you heard from someone with a bad accent and you'll forget them in a couple of days, or you can just take that promise and truly make a list, a physical list, like write them down. Like write it down. If you want to do it right now, if you don't, later, it will be good if you do it right now. If you want to think about it right now, just make a list and say, this was stolen. If I follow them, can I overtake them? I know we spent a lot of time talking about how it was stolen, but it was important. It was important to see how a moment of stress, a moment of weakness that we all go through, a moment of being scared of tomorrow, that we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, that moment changed his life around. You know how long he was there? You know how long he was serving that Palestinian king? He served him 16 months. 16 months, day and night. Day and night, serving that king. Day and night, working as a pirate. Day and night, leaving his family behind. Day and night, leaving his responsibilities. Day and night, leaving the thief. The freedom to steal, kill, and destroy. You are a watchman over your family. You are a watchman over your friends. You are a watchman over the people you work with. Are you praying for them, or are you leaving them wide open for the attack? God has given you gifts. Those gifts are to use for His glory, not to use for your own glory. for something that will last for 24 hours, something that will last for a few minutes. Are you a husband to your wife? Are you a wife to your husband? Are you a father to your children? Or they still don't really completely 100% belong to you. And you're leaving them as a victim to that vicious enemy to come and take them captives. Are you respecting your marriage, the vows that you made before God? No matter how messy it is right now, there is a way out. It starts with crying out. It starts with crying out to God, asking Him. Ask Him, tell Him we have no power anymore. Tell Him we're done. We're done. We can't do it anymore. Tell Him I'm done. There's nothing left. There's nothing left but fingers pointed at me, blaming me, calling me names. There's nothing but failure that people are shoving in my face. But in You, I can overcome. I can catch up. And all the years that are gone, You will make up for them. Keep praying. Keep praying and lift your voices up to God. Keep praying and lift your hearts up to God. Those few minutes can make a huge difference in your life. Trust God that He forgave you. Trust God on the cross. He paid the price in full. Trust God that He can restore everything that was stolen and taken from you. Just take a few more minutes.